everyone. This is Andy Heyer with Dorsey Wright Money Management. I'd like to welcome you to our podcast today. It's Thursday, April 11th, and I am joined by Mike Moody, who's our Senior Portfolio Manager. Welcome to the podcast, Mike.
Thanks, Andy.
As is probably well known by most who will listen to this podcast, Dorsey Wright is well known for a specific investment methodology. We're known for technical analysis, for focusing on technical analysis, specifically point and figure charting, and also specifically on building models based on relative strength. And for those who don't know what this methodology is about, it's a methodology based in economics 101. At its core, it is a trend-following strategy that's designed to capitalize on long-term trends. And for this podcast, we wanted to consider a question. And the question is this: are there common character traits held by those people who are drawn to this particular investment methodology? I have some thoughts on this, and do think that there are some common character traits. But I'm interested to get your perspective, Mike, on this. What do you think? Do you think there are certain common traits held by people who are drawn to relative strength, who are drawn to point and figure?
I think there are some common traits. When you sent me an email proposing this topic, I had to think about it a little bit. And some of the things I came up with, there are really three things that struck me as common traits that I see. One is that it seems like the clients that have successfully had accounts with us for a long time and have done very well tend to be fairly rational, pretty sophisticated, not very emotional. And maybe really it's the emotional detachment that's most important. I think if you get nervous about markets or you're overly concerned about the constant CNBC news cycle, then sometimes relative strength is tough. I think Art Cashin mentioned one time about people who catastrophize all the time. He said the end of the world only happens once, so timing that trade is tricky. But there are a lot of people who have that kind of end-of-the-world mentality, and I think it's very tough to stay with relative strength if you have that orientation. The second thing that struck me was the investors that have been with us a long time that have done very well are patient. And I think that's important because every strategy, not just relative strength, but certainly relative strength, goes through cycles of outperformance and underperformance, and they don't get too worked up about that. They understand, there are years I'm going to underperform, but then there are years when I'm going to have great performance, and as long as I stay the course, I'll be fine. So that's a second trait. And then the third trait that we noticed, or at least that I thought was important, was that a lot of these investors are fairly opportunistic. And in fact, they're often willing to commit additional funds when the market is low or when the indicators are oversold or when other people are despairing because of the CNBC news cycle. They're willing to commit more funds. And by doing that, they let volatility work for them instead of against them, instead of being bothered by it. And as I thought about it, Andy, and this is it was an interesting topic, because as I thought about it, I think in general, those are all characteristics of good stock market investors. And I think those are people who make money over time. I think the market can be a fairly painful place if you're emotional and impatient. But on the other hand, the market is quite able to bestow great wealth if you're patient and calm and opportunistic. And I think, Warren Buffett's talked on more than one occasion that good investing is more a matter of temperament than intelligence. And so I think that plays into it. I think there is a certain temperament of people who do well with relative strength. And I know you had given it some thought and maybe had some additional ideas about specific character traits of people were involved with our relative strength portfolios.
You touched on a couple of the ones that I thought of. One in particular that you mentioned, in talking about CNBC and the type of, what do people see when they turn on CNBC or other places? They often hear very charismatic individuals telling stories. Now, I think everyone is, if you're a human, you have the potential to be influenced by stories. We are all heavily influenced by stories. But I think one character trait of people who are drawn to relative strength is maybe that they're not overly influenced by storytelling. Because very easy to, turn on TV, listen to some presenter or some guest on CNBC talk about, some very, very compelling story why XYZ stock should just explode from here. Yes, it's been going down and lost, 40% of its money over the last month or whatever, but it's, for these very compelling reasons, the stock is going to go higher. And a lot of people really buy into this, or this on the reverse, why this stock has been up, every year for the last 6 years, and why it's going to, triple from here. I mean, but the essence of it is believing someone, believing a story, believing an individual, being really influenced by a perceived expert or a very compelling story. And I think, with relative strength is basically saying, we're going to let the market tell us if this security justifies our investment or not. We're going to let the market as a whole, which is just this mass of buyers and sellers sorting everything out. We're going to let them dictate where our investments are made. Another one that I thought of is. That's kind of related to that is I think it requires a certain humility to use relative strength because you are basically letting go of the desire to think that you have some insight that the market does not get at all. With relative strength, you're letting those trends bear themselves out. One thing that I think back to when I was first introduced to this methodology was the summer of 2001. I was an intern. It was after my sophomore year of college at Utah State. I went out to Denver for a summer, spent the summer working as an intern at First Union Securities. And during the summer, I worked for a number of different advisors, and I was exposed to a number of different investment methodologies and approaches to the business. One of the advisors I worked for really focused on using fundamental metrics to pick individual stocks. There were a number of the guys I worked with who I actually didn't pick up necessarily on an overriding approach or philosophy as it relates to how they did their business. But I did work for one broker in particular who was a big user of Dorsey Wright. And he said, I want you to read Dorsey Wright research every day, which I did over the course of the summer. I want you to read Tom Dorsey's book. And to me, honestly, it was a night and day difference from a lot of the other methodologies that I was exposed to. I mean, for you, did you start looking at fundamentals? Were you more interested in that, or did you come into the business kind of looking more at technicals?
I came into the business with a background in psychology, which I, at the time, I don't think realized would be relevant. And so I think I started out looking at fundamentals. I think most people who are trained through the trainee programs at the big wirehouses are taught that way, and so you learn something about the fundamentals. You take a portfolio management course. You start reading your analyst research reports, and then about 6 months in, you realize your clients are losing a lot of money and it's not working. And so you start looking around. There's got to be something more than this, and that's originally what drew me to technical analysis. Mm-hmm. Was more self-defense, I suppose. I wanted to make money for my clients. That mattered to me, not just, this is back in the days when it was still all commission business. The the production was nice, but the most important thing to me was trying to do well for the clients, and that entailed maybe looking at some factors that other people weren't using. And when you start doing that, you have a choice of methods, and supply and demand and point and figure made immediate sense to me, more so than waves or Fibonacci retracements or you know, any of the mumbo jumbo. It's very basic, like you said. It's rooted in economics 101, and you know, as we talk about this, I think your comment about humility is really spot on. I think it's hard as an investor to not think you're really special, and just to look at supply and demand as what's being evidenced in the stock through the market. And it's a really objective way to do it, which is why I think this often appeals to people that are fairly intelligent and rational. You know, if they're in their own business, they see how that works.
Mm-hmm. You know, one additional trait that I thought of was independence. To use relative strength means that you are going to overweight certain areas and you're going to underweight certain areas. You know, if you're looking at, say that your investment universe was the S&P 500, and if you are using relative strength to select maybe the strongest 25 or 50 stocks out of that universe of 500 stocks, you're going to be overweighting, you know, and owning certain stocks, and you're not going to be owning others. You're going to potentially be overweighting certain sectors versus the exposure in the S&P 500, underweighting other sectors, which ultimately means you are not going to track the S&P 500. Now, the whole reason for doing this over time is you have an expectation that it's going to generate outperformance. But in the meantime, you know, that deviation manifests itself in both outperformance and underperformance. And so, you know, someone who is, and again, you kind of touched on this at the beginning, but one character trait of those who are drawn to relative strength and are able to capitalize on relative strength is a willingness to be independent, a willingness not to track the cap-weighted indexes, not to have performance that lines up exactly with those indexes. And you know, by doing so, you know, those who are able to embrace it will have those quarters where they just, you know, do significantly better than the market. They'll also have those quarters where they don't. But people that are overly concerned about that, they're going to have a hard time staying with it for very long.
Yeah, one of the things that occurs to me as we talk, and I think back to another gentleman that I worked with years ago when I was at Smith Barney, who also used point and figure charts, but not so much relative strength oriented. And the difference, I think, was that he was a very fearful person. And so I think it helps if people are generally optimistic and not fearful. When something was strong, instead of seeing strength and demand in control, what he felt was risk. So he would watch markets go up and run away from him and be sitting in cash trying to bottom fish. And inevitably, when you buy weak things in a strong market, you get a bunch of garbage. And so he never did very well because he had this inability to see strength as a positive thing instead of always looking at the negative side of things.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, one of the key takeaways for me from just this topic is, you know, I look at my role at Dorsey Wright. It's really, you know, a big part of my role is on business development. And as I talk to different advisors and different individual investors about what we do, why it makes sense to use us, it's clear there are some people who are drawn to this, and there are others who are not. You know, their makeup, their character traits, just they're not aligned with this, but other people are. So, I mean, for me, a key takeaway is, you know, focus on the people who you know, for whom this will be a good fit. It, going back to, you know, my experience in terms of my introduction to the methodology back in 2001 when I was working in Denver as an intern, I had an advisor who, while I was working for, you know, one of the advisors who used Dorsey Wright, used the methodology, was a big proponent of it, had a great business, very successful business, and, you know, I was drawn to this. I had a different advisor who came up to me, you know, saw me working with this advisor and pulled me aside and said, "Let me give you a piece of advice. You need to stay away from that. That's no good. It's, you know, whatever." And it just is, you know, I don't know if this, you know, broker who told me this, you know, maybe he had a very successful business. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But for whatever reason, his exposure to, you know, this approach to investing, it didn't jive. It didn't make sense. And, you know, it's just that there are certain traits that I think really make a good fit for this methodology, and for those where the traits line up with them and they can embrace the methodology, you know, frankly, I think the future is very, very bright for these people because they can really capitalize on a very powerful investment strategy.
I agree with that.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks.